Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the Love You Mentory podcast. I am your host, Nate, and this is episode number 40 with the Solar family. Josh and Jenny Solar are the creators of the Happy Family Movement website, which is a website dedicated to helping families live a positive and fun-filled and meaningful life together, to live a little bit out of the ordinary, and to forge their own path and make their own family rules. You'll see that Josh and Jenny practice what they preach because they absolutely live this type of extraordinary lifestyle, very outside the ordinary, and you can follow their journey at happyfamilymovement.com. The Solars also created recently a new invention called Ned the Phone Monster. Many of us have become addicted to our phones, as you know. I'm definitely one of them. And constantly checking texts and emails and Facebook and Twitter, and when we get bored, we play Angry Birds or Fruit Ninja. And while these things can be great tools and distractions for defeating boredom, they can also distract us from our most meaningful relationships, and that's where Ned comes in. So when you get a little too cell phone obsessed, Ned the Phone Monster gets hungry and he eats your phone so you can be free and present for those that you love. It's a really cool little invention, especially if you've got kids. And you can check out more about the phone, Ned the Phone Monster, at thephonemonsters.com, or you can look them on Facebook. They're just about to launch a Kickstarter campaign, and I'm sure they would love your support. And this episode is also brought to you by Unbox Love. Unbox Love is a subscription service for those of you who want more excitement and spontaneity in your relationship. Every month, a new top secret date in a box is delivered to your doorstep, and each date is designed to inspire couples to experience something new, create a memory together, and motivate them to have conversations that they've never had before. So if you qualify for that, if you want a little more excitement in your relationship, if you want a little more spontaneity, and you don't want to plan dates as much anymore, you're kind of sick of the dinner and a movie routine, you can learn more at unboxlove.com. I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as Melissa and I enjoyed recording it.
Austin's pretty legit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So legit.
Too legit to quit.
I knew it.
Hot rod.
I was just waiting for
too legit to quit.
Yeah.
Now I'm unlegit.
Yeah.
And I must quit.
I love that. I mean, Jenny hates that movie.
Josh, why are you saying it that way?
What?
Why are you saying what that way?
Too legit to quit?
Why am I saying what way?
Oh.
Sorry. That was a really bad reference. I didn't set you up very well. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're recording. So welcome to the podcast.
Okay.
So the easiest way to kick things off, I think, is telling the story, if you guys are willing, how you fell in love. Because you've known each other for quite a while, for being so young.
Kind of forever, like.
Kind of like forever yeah. And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was 14 and he was 15. And it was one of those random days in high school. I think, like, the water main broke outside of our high school. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, they were like, we have to send everyone home. And they didn't call anyone's parents, which was random. But, I mean, this was 17 years ago. So they just closed school at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. And all of my friends and I were like, yay, nobody knows we're out of school. We're just going to go over to one of our friends' house and hang out. So there was probably about 15 or 20 of us. And we all just went over to one of our friends' house. And apparently they were mutual friends with Josh. And we were hanging out. We ordered pizzas. And we were like, now what do we do? And one of our friends said, oh, we should call Josh because he has every movie under the sun and he could bring some movies up for us to watch. So they call Josh and he shows up with a couple of movies and what? Sorry.
Oh, you're okay.
So he showed up with a couple of movies and yeah, that's how we met.
I had one of those dual VCR tapes back in the day, the dual VCR. So you'd like rent one from Blockbuster and then dub it.
Oh,
super legit. Anyway, yeah, so we kind of, that was in December,
yeah.
Of her freshman year. I was a sophomore and we pretty much.
96, I think. Yeah. December of 96.
And you started dating then?
We started dating like a month later.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And you just always been together since?
Basically.
When did you guys basically kind of? There's something there.
Yeah. It's okay. So open up a can of worms here. But it needs to be told as far as like if we're being honest. And so being young and in high school and stuff like that, you know, we're kind of just like still, I don't know, stupid, I guess. You don't really know what
you
want.
One of us was still stupid.
Yeah, you don't really know, like, what you want. And so I didn't really treat Jenny the best.
It wasn't me.
I didn't really treat Jenny the best. And it's one of those things where you kind of, like, I don't know, just, like, come around and say, like, I cheat on her all the time. And, you know, always think that there's, like, somebody better out there, even though, like, she was, like, amazing. And I just, like, didn't treat her that way. And so I want to say... What was it? I was 15. And
it was probably 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
Wow. He was so mean to me.
Yeah.
But I loved him and I was young. And I grew up in a single parent home. And my mom was physically and verbally abusive. And it just wasn't a good situation. And I grew up just feeling very unloved. I didn't really have anyone. So I guess when I met him, you know, and I just fell head over heels. Of course, I was 14. I mean, it's obviously a different kind of love when you're 14 than when you're 30. But being 14, like I loved him so much. And so I just, you know, and I had always been treated like crap my whole life. So I guess I didn't know that I deserved any better than that. So, I just put up with it for like 4 years. And then one day I had enough and I moved out. Because I had actually, when I was 16, I moved in to his parents' house. They had an extra room. We had a house fire at my house and it was the perfect way for me to like escape the terrible situation that I was in. So I moved out and I moved in with his parents. And then when I was 18, I think, yeah, I decided I had enough of him and I moved out and I moved in with some friends of mine and I didn't talk to him and I didn't answer the phone and I wouldn't see him. And, I was super mean and he deserved it.
But we ended up at a friend's house at a New Year's party together. And this is like the night to me that like it all changed. And so we had been separated.
It was from 2000, right?
Yeah. We'd been separated from like a month or so at this time. And
I was so mad at him that night. I remember I was so mad because I was going to go to a New Year's Eve party with some other guy and it didn't work out. And so I went with him, but I was so mad at him still. So I was really mean to him.
Yeah. So she was, but I remember that, she kind of had a little bit too much to drink.
It's true.
That night. And, anyway, we ended up like sitting next to each other on the couch and she, I don't want to say passed out, but she was just like, she had kind of leaned up next to me and it was weird that it was like the ball dropped at midnight, like right then. And something just clicked and I'm like, okay, like enough messing around. Like this is the girl that I'm going to marry and I need to change and get my act together. But I knew it was going to be hard to prove to her that I was different this time because I'd lied to her so many different times, you know? And so I was like, but whatever it takes. And
I made him suffer for like 3 months.
At least, yeah.
He deserved it.
But I remember, and I didn't tell her for another, I would say probably a week or so. And I knew that she had been seeing this guy. He was in the military and he was going to be going back to South Carolina. And
his name Chad. No. I feel like Chads are always that guy. No.
No, his name was Nathan.
You still seen Chad. Yeah. Oh, his name's Nathan. That's an ironic situation.
Yeah, no. And I was so heartbroken. Like I
feel so uncomfortable right now.
Good.
I almost up and like moved to South Carolina with this guy. Literally. Yeah. Like I'm surprised that I didn't. Like I was so heartbroken and just over it. And
I think we're all surprised at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I
want to know what happens next.
Yeah. I literally almost just moved to South Carolina with this guy, but I didn't. And
yeah, I remember I remember the night, it was like 9 days after, and I was like, okay, enough of waiting. Like I need to tell her this. all this stuff, the way I'm feeling, I'm going to be different. I need to prove to her that, like, it's going to be different this time. And she wouldn't answer my calls, and she wouldn't, like, anything. And I was like, no, I have to do this now, you know? And so I called my grandma, who's, like, the sweetest lady in the world. She lives in Southern California. And I talked to her once a week at least. But I remember she's like, well, honey, if you really love her, you just have to go get her. And so I literally jumped in the car, and I was like, I know where she is, and just drove over there. I was like, I have to tell her the way that I feel and that I need, that I'm going to treat her right. And anyway, so I get there. Apparently, she was with the other guy at the time, and he had left like 5 minutes before I got there. Oh, it was his last night in town.
Yeah.
It was like
the worst.
It was like his last night in town before he moved back to South Carolina, before he left back to South Carolina. And so anyway, I showed up, and she was still mad, obviously, but I just told her everything. I was like, just let me stay here tonight. Trust me, when you wake up in the morning, like, it's going to be different. And then, so from then on, then she made me suffer and work. But I really feel that doing all of the stuff that I did, like, that's the reason that our marriage is so strong now, in the way that, cause I didn't respect her or really anybody. I mean, I was mean to my parents at that time. I mean, I was just not a nice guy.
Just a jerk.
Yeah. Like, I feel so blessed that we're together. I mean, there's so many things that lined up that kept us together, and it just needed to be the right time, and it wasn't until then. So here we are. Yeah.
So you put him through hell essentially for 3 months. And then at what point after that did you guys decide, like, let's make this official and sign the documents and become married humans?
I mean, it was quite a while after that when we got married, because I was probably, I mean, all of that went down my freshman year of college. So I would have been 18. And then I'm pretty sure I moved back in at his parents' house for a little while, and he was dead set. Like, this man never would have moved out of his parents' house. Like, he wanted to just live there forever. I mean, and we, you know, we'd gotten back to dating and everything, and probably 6 months went by, and I said, I'm moving out with or without you. Like, I'm just ready to be an adult and not living with somebody's parents. And, so we actually went and bought a house. I was 19 and he was 20 at the time. And then it was another year after that when we got engaged. I actually almost broke up with him because I was so irritated that he was never going to commit to me. And I'm pretty sure the night that we got engaged, we got in a big fight.
Yeah.
That went something like, you're never going to commit to me. I don't know why I stay with you. Cause I really wanted
to. Did that happen before or after he proposed?
Right before.
Okay. So you're fighting about this, and then he's like, well, actually,
Here's the thing is that, like, I was trying to write a song to, like, sing to her and propose to her with this song. And so I couldn't get the words to match up with the music at all. And I had the ring for over a year.
Seriously.
It was so when we got in a fight, she was like, just go. And I was like, so just get out of here. So I left, and I was like, dang it. I'm just going to go grab the ring right now and come back and propose. And so I did. I came back. I grabbed the ring because I was at my parents' house and came back, and I bursted. She had just got out of the bath.
So I'm like standing in the bathtub with a towel wrapped around my head and a towel wrapped around me, and he just comes bursting in. And I'm like, still mad. I'm like, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you.
I was like, no, I have to tell you something. So that's how I proposed.
I was telling you I love you.
That's right. So, yeah.
So he proposed, and then we got married the following year.
Did Chad come?
No.
No. No Chad.
No Nathan.
No.
That's a great story, guys.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. And then, you know, we had Max pretty out shortly after that, our first son, and, there's a lot of things that kind of led us to where we are now. And one of the things is we started a photography business, and I really feel it's relevant because it brought us to meet with all these other people who take pictures of people in love, you know, and we take pictures of families in love. And so we see the way that, like, people interact and things like that. And we pull things from those, like, well, how does that fit into our family? And we use those things to, I guess, raise our kids in a more intentional, loving way.
Like, what things have you learned?
Well,
or applied?
Like, a little more vaguely too. Like, I think we grew up without a good role model for what does a good marriage look like. Like, we just don't, for many years of our marriage, we had absolutely no one in our life that we could look to and be like, they, like, they're happy. They're doing, you know, they're making it. Like, everyone who we knew in our life either was divorced or they were very unhappily married. And so we didn't even really know how to be happily married. So I think, like he said, when we started the photography business, we just started meeting other people, and it really broadened our network of people that we knew. And now I feel like we have so many people who are good role models for, like, what does a happy marriage look like, and why communication is important, and learning to grow together and not apart. You know, we've been married for 10 years now, and I'm only 31, and I think we were super boring and lame when we were young. We really were.
Lots of TV.
We didn't do anything fun really ever. That's something that we've just, you know, I think as we had kids and we started traveling more, like, we realized, like, hey, like, we actually like to have fun and do things other than, like, oh, let's just go watch a movie or something like that. So yeah, I think that we're both pretty open and flexible. So if someone has an idea for something, then we'll kind of, like, explore that.
We also have a motto that we came up with that say yes to adventure.
I came up with that.
So pretty much we say yes to everything. And so that helps too. Yes, you know, like,
yeah. We're grateful for, because that's probably why we're here right now.
Yeah.
Because you say yes to everything.
You have to.
Yeah.
I would like to comment on that. We do not say yes to everything.
Okay.
Almost.
We do not say yes to everything. We say
yes to adventure.
We say yes to adventure. We say yes to new experiences and fun and getting to know awesome people and things like that. We don't say yes to everything.
I'm so glad we qualified.
You qualified.
Yeah. As adventure and good people.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Do you guys do a lot of wedding photography? This is a weird segue, but
we like for the past 8 years, wedding photography has been our main source of income. We are actually no longer accepting weddings.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you, because you're sick of them, or?
No, I actually
so
love weddings.
No, we love
no.
them.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the idea of intentional living. So for us, one of our family values is spending time together as a family. Mm. And this year, all of our children are now in school. Leah started kindergarten, so we have a kindergarten first and third grader. When we started our business, all three of them were home. So we would hang out Monday through Friday as a family. And then we'd, you know, in the evenings and weekends, we'd be like, see you guys, go hang out with your grandparents. We're going to work. And so it didn't matter. Well, now they're all in school. So the only time we have with them is the weekends and the evenings.
Right.
So if we're spending all of that time shooting weddings and engagement pictures and meeting with people, we don't have any family time. And Max is about to be 9, which I realized the other day, that means we're halfway to that magic number of 18. Like, we literally have 9 years left of our whole family unit for certain that they're, I'm not letting them leave. So we've decided, you know, we're going to have to find a different way to make our income.
Well, I know a big part of your work and your message is about happy families. And I think one of the prevalent themes in marriages is that you kind of just lose your balance as a couple when you have kids, because then all of a sudden it becomes about your kids. And then you have to go through this period when you're empty nesters, where you have to rebuild a relationship again. How has your marriage changed as a result of having kids at each stage? There's three.
I think that we're closer now, because it's one of those things, like, I think we realized that we were devoting all our time to, like, our kids and not each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, how do we bring that relationship back? And so we don't do it as consistently as I'd like, but we do take date nights. She made a jar one time that we would go, and it's just random things, all activities that would take under 15 minutes. And so I would pull something out of it, and then we would have to do that. And it would be like karaoke, a cheesy 80s song or something, you know, like just really random stuff. Sometimes
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Do you find that on Pinterest?
The couples reconnecting jar.
I don't know what I called
it. You created
it. Just a little note, you know, little note cards in a glass jar or whatever.
Yeah.
Genius.
And then there's stuff like, I have a playlist. I make a lot of playlists through iTunes.
He likes
and so
music.
One of them is like slow dancing in the kitchen. And so, literally, if it's like chaotic,
we would totally be friends, wouldn't we?
Right. And so it's like, I think there's like 60 or 70 songs on there now, but like, it's really just like love songs that you slow dance to in the kitchen, you know? And so like, sometimes I will like, okay, we just need a break and we just need to dance. And the kids know, sometimes they'll come and join us, but sometimes they're just being crazy and over the top. And when we're dancing, like, it is chaos going on around us, but they're not killing themselves, so we're good, you know? So, like, but just, like, finding things like that in this stage in our life has really helped to bring us together. And we travel, I mean, we travel a lot with them, but we do travel a lot without them, too. And mm-hmm. so I'll speak at a conference, or she'll go somewhere, or we'll shoot weddings out of town, you know?
We always travel together, unless it's, like, he did go on a trip with his 13-year-old girlfriends, with his guy friends, to Colorado for a few days. But if he's going to a conference, or I'm, you know, going to speak, or we're going to shoot a wedding, we always travel together. Like, I always go with him, and
we build in a few days for, like,
we always add a day or 2 days and just hang out and have fun. And we really soak up all that time when we're gone together, so that we can kind of recharge and come back into the chaos of kids.
And it's things too, like, we were in San Francisco last month, shooting a wedding, and we had one morning, I was like, oh, let's get up and go watch the sunrise over the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, because you can, like, drive over it and you go into those mountains. And
yeah.
I'd always wanted to do it, and it's always foggy, and so this day it wasn't foggy, and so we're just sitting out there just, like, you know, watching the sun come up, and, you know, just stuff like that, you know, just finding ways to just do things that are unique and special. So
is there, cause I find this a lot. I want to know if you guys experience the same thing. Is there, like, a flinch point, like, where sometimes you're just tired and, like, it's just hard to get up and do something like that, but you're like, it's going to be worth it. It'll be worth it. Just go do something fun and unique. Or do you just naturally gravitate towards just doing it?
I would say we're typically 95% all in, whatever it is, game on, let's do it. Sometimes I'm not going to lie, I'm very frugal. So sometimes I'm like, $90, we're not doing that. So I have to kind of buffer myself to, is that going to be expensive, and prepare myself for it. I don't like getting up early, I'm not going to lie. And actually, when we were in San Francisco, I had a really bad headache the night before, and I had hives, which I usually only get when I'm getting, like, really sick. And we were shooting a wedding the next day, so I was kind of freaking out about that. And so I did not want to get up. Like, I was like, I do not want to get up at 5 a.m. I had a headache and hives, and I was freaking out that if I overextended myself, that I would be a hot mess and not be able to shoot the wedding that we flew to San Francisco to shoot. But I was kind of like, oh my gosh, he really wants to do this. And he promised me that I was going to get a nap, which I did not get, but that's okay. But I mean, as soon as I got myself out of bed, then I was fine. And then we went and watched the sunrise, and we went and had breakfast at some crappy little diner with really good food. And then we rented bikes and biked 18 miles across the Golden Gate Bridge and down to Sausalito and all the way back.
Nice.
It was really great and very awesome. So I would say,
yeah, I find that, like, for me personally, whenever I have an adventure in front of me, that I resist the starting line. It's like, oh, I don't want to go for a hike. Like, I was so comfortable on this couch or in my bed. But then once you, like, just start moving, it's like, oh, okay. And I rarely ever regret.
Yeah, you do. Adventure.
Yeah, no, I can't think of anything that we've ever done where I was like, gosh, I wish I would not have done that. And that's kind of where our say yes to adventure comes in.
That makes sense.
That's kind of, we've been saying it and doing it for so long. We also have this thing we say, like, we don't talk about doing cool stuff. Like, we do cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't just talk about it. We'll actually just go do it. Mm-hmm. So I think living with integrity and, you know, in those values that we have, we're kind of like, oh, we can't be lame and not, you know, like, we can't go to San Francisco and not bike the Golden Gate.
You got to walk the walk.
And then we biked all the way across. And honestly, the only reason we planned to bike back and not take the ferry is because it was going to cost another, like, $30 to take the ferry. And I was like, we're not taking the ferry. It already cost $35 to rent the bikes. And that's only because I got a Groupon. It would have cost $70 to rent 2 bikes for the day.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, we're not paying another $30 to take the ferry. We're going to bike back. And oh my God, it was so hard. It was, like, straight uphill. Josh is at the top of the hill just laughing at me while I'm, like, halfway up.
I waited for you, though.
I made it. So.
Yeah.
What's something that you, knowing what you know now after 10 years of marriage, what do you wish that you could tell yourselves on your wedding day?
Oh, that's a good one. I really think that going back, if I could tell myself something on my wedding day, it would just be to just like, I almost want to say something like, let it go. You know, like there's so much stuff that you get caught up with that is just unimportant, you know, and you get caught up in what you're doing in the moment and you forget about the people that you love. And like that, seriously, that's what life is about, is like spending a lot of time doing meaningful things with the people you love, mm-hmm. you know, and like that, that is what I want more of. And I think it took us well into our photography career before we realized that, you know, and I only say photography because that brought us together. We're like meeting a lot of awesome people we're taking pictures of, and photographers that we met all over the country that live their life with intention and that do things that matter because they, again, they get it, you know? And so mm-hmm. I just wish that I would have got that earlier on in my life. You know, I mean, I spent so much time just like treating people like crap and doing things like being selfish, you know, I guess. And so just let it go, you know.
It's good advice.
I think that's probably the thing that surprises me most and that I'm most in awe of with the two of you, is that it seems like you guys have had so many different lives, and that there was this like period where, compared to not that long ago, right? I mean, there are couples that we've interviewed who have been together for quite a while, and you can tell that they probably had, they're different people, but they were probably in a similar relationship 40, 50 years ago as they are now. And it just seems, I mean, it's really inspiring because it just makes, you know, I mean, me feel better like about myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's hope. Like it's possible for me to have a great family and have a great relationship. But I just think that there's something like I'm almost not sure which question to ask to get the answer that I'm looking for, but it's something along the lines of, when there are so many people out there who want to be more adventurous in their lives and want to have more fun with their kids. And I think just the idea of like taking your main source of income and saying, we're not going to do that anymore because we're going to figure it out no matter what, is like mind-blowingly incredible to have that much intention and like in care in your priorities.
It's having a lot of faith too, not to like cut you off, but just have a lot of faith that we're going to be okay. And So
I'm curious as to how you've cultivated that almost like group mentality within your family of, when we want something to be different, we gradually like figure out how to improve, when there are a lot of people who have the same dreams, but don't necessarily do what it takes to change or make them happen. So is it just, do you have any advice out there for people who maybe have dreams but feel like, I have no idea how to get our relationship from here to there, or, you know, have more fun? Or
I think a lot of it, I'm not going to lie, so much is the people that we meet. Like I feel like we know so many people, and that we're always finding the right conference to go to with the right people. And it's not maybe photography related. Like, I don't want to go to a photography conference. I want to go to a conference of people who are living life right, or at least that they're on the right track and they want to. And so when we are constantly, how can we surround ourselves with the right kind of people that are going to push us to be better? And then we push them to be better. And then we learn things from them. And I think also the idea of, you know, we don't talk about doing stuff, we do it. So, and I think a lot of it comes with parenting. A lot of it is, we've decided this is the way we want to raise our kids, and these are the values we want them to have. So then we have to figure out, how do we do that? How do we have those values? And it's by doing, you know. Mm-hmm. We could say our family's important and shoot 50 weddings next year. And when you're self-employed, there's really a temptation to do that because, well, what if we don't book any the next year? Or, you know, what if suddenly nobody hires wedding photographers? So there's always this feeling of like, is there going to be enough money or whatever? But to be able to say, you know what, this isn't working for our family, and we have to make the decision to do something about it. Like you were saying, we have control over our marriage. We have control over everything. You know, one of the things we constantly are realizing, are we just complaining about something and not actually doing anything about it? You know, one of my really, really, really good friends, Jennifer Durkin, she has this thing. She says, recognize it, own it, overcome it. So figure out whatever it is, own it, like, yep, I do that, and then figure out how to overcome it. And I think that can be used like to take away negative things, but also to like bring about positive things. Mm-hmm. You know, everything, if we want to have, you know, that's where Ned the Phone Monster came into play. Like, we were, you know, we value being present with our family and with each other, but there's something so tempting about picking up that iPhone. Mm-hmm. So then we make a tool and a habit to help us change that, you know, and mm-hmm. to be able to say, you know, we value being present. And so we're going to put forth effort to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question at all?
Yes. Okay. It really did.
I was going to say, like, I think mm-hmm. about like fear mm-hmm. and how it's scary, but you just have to accept that, like, it's okay to feel good. You know, there's, you look at how you are when you're a kid, or like if you watch kids, like they're so just random in their movements and they're so creative. And then you go to school and you're kind of taught to, like, you have to do this and you have to know these things and you have to get a job that pays this amount of money so that you can support your family and stuff. No, you don't. Like, you don't. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. But there's a lot of fear there because you're like, you fear about what people are going to say, or you fear like what your family is going to say. And like, it's scary and it is uncomfortable. And, yeah, like it's one of those things, like I equate it to this. We were in Norway recently. And so we were taking pictures and there's at this lake that was basically glacier runoff, probably the coldest water I've ever touched in my life. It was like 5 degrees Celsius or something. And so, I was like, I'm going to jump in this thing. I've never swam in water this cold. But it's like, you look at like life, like, and I did, and I was in for 30 seconds, and it was,
and you're like,
can't breathe, pins coming on me. But I would do it again in a heartbeat because I'm never going to have that opportunity again for a while, at least. You know, but so you look at like, think about like life as a lot like that. So you look at something and it's scary. So like, it's scary to make drastic changes that people might not understand. And, and there's people around me that's looking like I'm crazy, you know? But then how many people just sit on the sidelines and just watch people like living their life and don't actually live their life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to enjoy what I'm doing with the people that I'm doing with, and I want to help others do the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think talking about fear too, my friend Laura Casey, she has this thing. She says, feel the fear
I
and
want
do it anyway.
Everything in her store, everything.
I love her so much, but feel the fear and do it anyway. And so I think that we surround ourselves with a support group of people who support us and our crazy ideas and our stupid ideas and all, you know, all of these things and the way that we want to live our life. You know, we feel like we live a little bit unconventionally, and that's okay. So we have people who support that. We go to conferences around the idea of like doing whatever you want. And then we have these, you know, these mantras, these things, say yes to adventure. We do cool things. We don't just talk about doing them, feel the fear and do it anyway. And those kind of things. And then we create again, tools around that. So this new project I'm working on, one day I'm like so excited. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then the next day I'm feeling like, this is so stupid. I'm going to fail. So I decided I'm going to write myself a note every single time I'm feeling like 100% faith and confidence, and this little jar over there. So I've been writing myself notes like, this is the best idea ever. I'm so excited about it. And I'm just putting it in there. So then when I have those moments of like, I'm so stupid and I'm going to fail and we're going to go bankrupt and people are going to think I'm an idiot. And then I can go back and like read, wait, but there were so many times when I was feeling so confident about it. So I think it's a lot about building a support because it is scary. A lot of these things we do are scary, and we've just learned to like, you kind of start to become a little, you build immunity to some of that fear to where, you know, these baby steps, you start doing something just a little bit scary and then you move up and move up until you can do big, scary things, still be afraid. Mm-hmm. I think there's something like being courageous isn't the absence of fear. It's basically feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
I butchered that one a little bit too, but.
That was good. It was beautiful. I like your version better.
Yeah. A little Laura Casey spin on it. But
I love it.
Yeah. So.
My last question is, what do you love most about one another?
Oh, man. I love that even though we've been together so long, like, I can walk up and kiss Jenny on the back of the neck. And, like, I know that, like, she's laughing now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's like that I can still make her smile and that, you know what I mean? And so, like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to do is, like, I imagine when we're, like, 80 or 90, you know, still being able to do those things. And I know that it's a lot of hard work to stay committed to somebody for so long, like it is. And I think being happily married is harder than raising kids. And so But just knowing that we've been married for 10 years and all of the fun things that we've done together, and that I can still like get that reaction out of her. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that's what I love most.
I think I love that he's so much different than I am. Like, you know, I'm type A, organized, list maker. Like, I think that he's a little bit, to me, like he's a little bit crazy, and he has these things that are like really out there. Like, where are you coming up with these things? And he's very artistic, and, you know, and I'm a numbers girl. And so, I think that he kind of, you know, instead of me being way over here and him way over here, he kind of pulls me to the middle a little bit more. And I probably do a lot of things that maybe, you know, like I probably never would have come up with going to Europe for 5 months with our kids and not having, like, I don't know where we're going to stay or what we're going to do. And so I love that he can kind of, because I want to be, you know, I want to be adventurous, and I want to, you know, but that's an intentional thing for me, because my, you know, internal self wants to be like, we're going to have a plan, and we're going to drive from here to there, and we're going to, and so he's, I guess he's inspired me to be a little more spontaneous and, crazy, I guess, a little more, you know, out there, a little more of a, he's more of a dreamer and I'm more of the realist. And so he kind of balances me out.
I love it.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you guys.
Thanks for spending so much time with us.
Awesome. Yeah.
And letting us come to your house.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on this.
And I think that, the work that you guys are doing with the Happy Family Movement is really, really important work. And, I don't have kids yet, but I kid you not, sometimes I'll take screenshots of like my Instagram feed and I'm like, I'm going to do that. What's the last one I did with all the buckets?
Oh yeah.
The 10x5.
Yeah. I was like, I'm doing that with my kids. I'll say them. And it really, I think, just is making a difference for a ton of families out there. And it's really, really cool. So
thanks.
I admire your work a lot. And thanks for having us.
Yeah. When the storms,
they rise. Big thanks today to Ben Rector for the intro music and to Maddie Blades for the theme music. And as always, I hope you have an amazing week and that it's filled with so much love. If you're feeling extra generous today, jump on iTunes, and I'd really love it if you would leave a review on for the Lovumentary podcast. That would mean a lot to me. We'll carry your burden, be the wind that shall back. I'm gonna spend my forever. Forever like that.